Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast.
Today's guest is Mr. Jay Sarkar, who is a managing director at an investment bank. Thank you for your time, and let's jump right into the questions. Can you briefly explain your role as a managing director at an investment bank?
Yes. So I have four key duties that I do at my current investment bank. One of them is that I run the data and analytics platform at our bank, which means that the analytics, as well as all data infrastructure across cap markets, research, trading, sales, and compliance all kind of rolls into me. So I'm responsible for providing that across our bank. Secondly, because I specialize in algorithmic trading, I speak to some of our largest hedge funds clients, as well as different kinds of long-only and largest institutional asset managers to talk across our product offering in terms of trading, as well as the overall platform that our bank actually provides as far as services to these institutional managers. Along with that, there's, of course, the purview of new business opportunities that I have to explore. If there's any new business opportunities and figure out the strategy for that, and as well as any product improvements that we can do in terms of algorithmic trading. And finally, as we're working on the improvement, I'm also responsible for part of the content distribution. And when I talk about content, I mean marketing, the materials, some of the write-ups and pieces that go out to our clients as well. So it's a wide range of things that kind of roll up and I'm responsible for.
After high school, you went to MIT for electrical and electronics engineering. When you were in high school and in college, how did you narrow down your major to that major, and how does that connect to your job that you do today?
So that was kind of an interesting question. I think my parents wanted me to be a doctor when I was in high school. So, after going to high school, I applied to a few places. I got into pretty much everything. St. Mark's does a great job of preparing you for college. So wanted to be a doctor. I think I got into Johns Hopkins. I got into various different Ivy Leagues, as well as MIT. And I wasn't completely sure if I wanted to be a doctor or not. So I didn't go to Hopkins. And I was like, I did care about science and technology. So therefore, MIT kind of led over some of the other colleges as far as that's concerned. And finally, if you care about science and technology, you don't have to become a doctor. You can study various different disciplines on that front. And the reputation's been great as far as that college is concerned. And it's very innovative. So that was also part of my decision process.
During or after your college days, what types of summer jobs or internships did you have that helped you in landing that first job?
I think the internships are very important. I feel like you study certain classes, but I think if you can get a wide range of internships, that'll really help narrow down what you want to do. So therefore, I did everything. My freshman year internship is I worked for an eye doctor in India. My sophomore year, I worked in an electrical engineering, like a large company that worked, that did like cellular services, meaning cell phones and things like that. Then the next year I worked in engineering. And then my final year, I worked at a bank, a very large investment bank, trying to learn about finance. So I think internships play a good role in trying to gauge your interest. Like if something excites you and you're like, wow, I can see myself doing this, or just there's an inherent love or passion for it, I think that's really important. It's actually much more important than money, I would say, because when you look at these kinds of opportunities, you got to be like, there's got to be something that gets you up in the morning, something that you love about that profession. And that's how I kind of narrowed down to finance from engineering.
That's a great point. There are many other things to consider other than just money.
Yeah. And life is not a destination. You have to enjoy what you do, right? Parents say, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. You got to enjoy what you do. And if you really enjoy what you do, you'll work hard at it. And I think that's something important.
What did you do after graduating from MIT before joining the first company? Because I know on your LinkedIn, there's like a bit of a gap.
I didn't list the first couple companies, which were also very large banks, in my LinkedIn. But in between, I worked for Mother Teresa helping leprosy victims in India. So it's a very different thing. So I wanted to sort of go, even though I wasn't going to be a doctor, I told my parents that I did want to help people out. So I wanted to join the Peace Corps. My mom had a connection with Mother Teresa and she goes, why don't you go and work on Mother Teresa's home for like a little bit? So I did that between job and college. So
pretty cool.
Yeah.
How did you prepare yourself to lead a career in financial services after completing your degree? And other than internships, what other things did you have to pick up along the way?
I took a few economics classes, economics/finance classes. One good thing, and if I could steer, if you're creative, you know, there are certain ways that you kind of classify people. Some people are creatives who care about arts and sciences and writing. And writing is a key skill in everyone's career. So, you know, if you become a good writer, it'll help you in every single field out there, you know, that you can name, from consulting to finance, engineering. Like, writing and conveying ideas is a very important skill set to have. But as far as if you study a science and engineering major, the number of opportunities across disciplines is huge. So my senior year, I interviewed at consulting firms, at banking firms. When I mean consulting, I mean management consulting, banking firms, engineering firms, programming firms, every single discipline under the sun, I got an interview at. And I think part of it is that if you become an engineering major, you have a wide array of groups that you can go into or fields.
Do you have any certifications or licensing or continuing education requirements?
Yeah, but that's just, it's more regulatory. So as you know, banking and trading are probably one of the most regulated fields in the world, right? Regulated industries. So therefore, you know, you have to have all the series licenses like Series 7, 3, 63, 55, a lot of those rules. You have to just sort of pass to trade in the US, because I've been in trading for 25 years. In some form of trading. And then, of course, you have to have the series licenses for when you go over to Europe, because there's the FSA. So you have to pass the European regulations, so your UK and everything else like that. So I don't know. I think at one point I had like something like 10 different licenses. But I believe that that's just for my field in itself. Our field is changing. Nowadays, I hear more and more like DeFi, you know, with crypto and blockchain, versus you hear traditional finance. So I think getting more kind of tech certifications and tech degrees is also a good enhancement to the regulatory stuff as well.
I know you touched on this earlier with sort of the four things that you do, responsibilities that you have, but could you briefly talk about what a typical workday or work week might look like, maybe in terms of number of hours, just some daily routines or tasks?
I talk about finance. There are two key areas of finance. I mean, say there's, of course, the technology aspect, which is a big part. But generally, when people talk about finance, there's two main areas of finance. There's investment banking, and then there are sales and trading. And within there, there's two areas. Of course, there's investment banking, which is doing banking deals across like mergers and acquisitions between companies. Trading is more about picking companies that you're going to invest in. So therefore, when you hear of hedge funds, which is considered like the buy side, those are people who are concentrating on the investment thesis. So what companies they're going to invest in, how they're going to manage money. And then similarly to trading, you try to figure out within a bank how you're going to service those clients. The hours are hugely different. So generally, traders have a very set hour where you get in very early in the morning, between 6:30 and 7, and you probably stay till 5:30. Whereas investment bankers, you hear those horror stories of people that are, well, not a horror story, maybe they love it, but you hear the stories of people who are working 80, 90 hours a week. And that's more on the banking side as to how that's done. So I'm concentrating more on the trading side. So therefore, my hours are actually fairly set. I probably work like 55 hours to 60 hours a week. But not included within there is client visits. So I probably see like about 150 to 200 clients a year. So that's outside of kind of those working hours. And you asked specifically about day-to-day duties. A lot of it is in the morning. I do like, I touch base with a lot of clients. I follow up on the news, what's going on in terms of the markets. Later on in the day, I help them with their trading needs. I also, in the middle of the afternoon, do a lot of business strategy planning, internal meetings and things like that as to how we're going to improve products. What are the different things as far as flows and things like that, and touch base. And then at the end of the day, I just kind of close out what our commissions and revenues are.
What is your favorite aspect of your job and the least favorite aspect of your job?
My most favorite aspect of my job, and that's just everyone is wired differently. I think certain people like working on large projects. I like working on projects that I know have exact tangible value. So therefore, in trading, one of the big aspects is revenue. So I like having immediate satisfaction knowing that the work that I've done has generated X amount of revenue for the firm. And there's a direct correlation to that. The other thing that I love about the job is constantly being in touch with clients and the people that you're servicing. So therefore, if I'm always in meetings with them, I know what they're thinking of as being forward. The third, a really good aspect of my job is that the world over the last 20 years has become much, much more technology focused. And I like having the technology background to bring technology to our bank and to our clients and trying to use technology to move their services, their investment decisions, everything from algorithmic trading to AI to every single to data science to how we can actually improve that. And that has been a huge shift from going from human decision to computerized decision over the last 20, 25 years. That's been a big part of what I love about the job. And it's not just golfing. There's a lot more to it than golfing with your clients. The thing that I actually don't like about my job, I feel like our industry creates a lot of headwinds. So therefore, we, through the SEC, through a lot of different groups, we are probably the most regulated industry that finds itself a lot. So therefore, we've created a ton of infrastructure costs within our industry just to keep a brokerage or a bank going. And therefore, that inhibits growth. So for example, if you work at a Silicon Valley company, you know, let's say you work at a Google or, you know, a Meta or something like that, you actually have a lot more opportunity for growth because you don't have these huge like regulatory hurdles that you have to go through and have to support, right? So you're not creating fines within your industry. And that, I think, limits some of the growth of that. And that would probably be my kind of least favorite aspect of my job.
Based on the knowledge you have today, if you could go back to high school or your college years, is there anything you would change? Would you do anything differently, like maybe interact with professors more or work more with mentors or develop some skills that you didn't deem important at that time?
I think what you're, and I have a son who's 15 or 16 as well. So I think the thing you don't realize as a child is the amazing opportunity that you have for good education. So if you go to a good high school or a good college, you should really take advantage of those who are teaching you. And I wish I would go back and maybe learn some more of that knowledge out there and explore opportunities that you don't normally think about in college. And don't take any aspect of life too seriously, right? Like life is a long journey. You'll go through several paths. And sometimes maybe it's not worth it to finish up that Excel spreadsheet. Maybe it's worth it to go and tour the world for like a week or month. Right. I think travel is a very important thing to do in life. So you find out everyone else's world experiences and what's important. I think that's very important. As far as your question about change, would I change anything? Yeah, maybe I wouldn't be going into finance. Maybe I would have gone into entrepreneurial tech or venture capital, which is also a very exciting business, learning about new companies. And I'm very fortunate that if you looked at my current background, I'm also an advisor at blockchain companies doing like venture capital stuff. And that to me is very exciting. And then also it's important to give back. I think, you know, obviously I like to give back. Like I'm currently doing things like I'm supporting an internship at MIT where kids are able to go over to India and teach like poor students and things like that in STEM classes. I think that's a good experience to have. So I think that's something that I would maybe continue to espouse in people.
Without going into specifics, how does compensation look in this profession?
I think it looks okay. I think people were getting compensated more 15, 20 years ago. I think compensation in technology has definitely grown. I think compensation in our industry has come down a bit. And a lot of that has to do with automation. Part of it has to do with offshoring of jobs. So therefore, a lot of the jobs that were done in the US can now be offshored to India or to other countries. Right. So that brings some compensation down. Automation has also changed. So people used to be like, oh, this person did this task or they got this trade done. Now it's just done by computers. And then the third layer is, of course, as I told you, like, you know, there's a lot of lawyers and people that brokerages have to employ to protect yourself from a lot of rules and regulations and, you know, like this law, that law that we have to follow. I think that all those kind of coming together has brought compensation down a little bit. But this is more traditional finance. Finance is changing. Finance has become much more technologically forward. So therefore, I think that will become a growth engine for a lot of the companies. going forward is technological growth. And there's definitely a, like, you used to have tech companies on one side and you used to have banking on another side. And now you normally hear a lot of like CEOs of major banks going, hey, I'm actually kind of a tech company now. So I think that's going to be a big growth engine, which could increase compensation as well. So we'll see. The next thing that I would also very much compare within the compensation world is that blockchain technology is becoming very important. And you hear words like cryptocurrencies, right? You hear like Bitcoins and things like that. There is a melding going on of traditional finance and decentralized finance and cryptocurrencies, which is going to make it more technologically, which will also change the compensation structure to maybe go higher as people are. So that's my view.
A big part of your job is interacting with clients. And for that, interpersonal skills are very useful.
Yes.
Good to develop. What are some tips or tricks that you've...
What are some tips and tricks? I would say, I think interpersonal skills is actually extremely important. So as far as interpersonal skills is concerned, and also political skills are very important, and your ability to sell is very important. I think in every job, regardless of what you do, you have to sell somebody. You have to either sell the client, or you have to sell management, or you have to sell your shareholders. I think sales skills and interpersonal skills and understanding people's problems and what they're going through is very important overall. So that's something that I would very much say that people need to support. Also, I think writing skills is something that people forget about. And I think the writing skills is something that should constantly be honed in on. The third skill that I would say is, because every job is becoming more technologically forward, you have to sort of continue that, is being up on the newest technologies.
What type of career growth or progression can someone expect, maybe from like entry level to perhaps where you are today? How long would that take, and how much work would you have to put in for something like that?
I think one thing that people don't realize is two things. Is one is, a lot of people fall into things, that there's just luck associated with certain things. Some people just get luck, and you slowly start seeing that in careers. You're like, oh, was this person worked hard? They probably worked hard. There are a lot of people that work hard, but there's a lot of people that just kind of certain luck just kind of fell upon them, right? Or the world just changed around, you know, their luck. Like, great, Zoom is a great company and we're on Zoom, but, you know, let's just be honest. The coronavirus boosted Zoom. Right. So therefore, that's kind of luck. Right. Sometimes you hear, oh, this person got promoted to this big thing. Oh, you didn't realize that person's manager left or they resigned. Right. So they were the only ones left to kind of vault into that. So I think working hard is important. I think politics seems to be important too, to where you need certain managers to really like you. And that's really just a personality game. I've seen people work like 20 hours and somebody works half of them, half the hours they did. But guess what? Their boss just happens to like them, right? So therefore, there's some luck attributed. So I would say it's some soft skills, some political skills, and obviously some hard work that all have to kind of contribute to this. And there's some luck involved as well.
What is your best advice for someone in their junior or senior year in school, or maybe in starting college, that's considering like a similar profession to you? They're interested in, you know, financial services.
I would say explore the different areas of financial services that you like. And I think I touched upon this before. I think doing different kinds of internships is very important. Don't just do all financial services internships. Go do something that's crazy. Go do something in tech. Maybe go teach a class. Maybe go out to poor countries. Do something else that, you know, gives you a good perspective of life. And also travel. I think travel gives you a good perspective of life. So that's very important to have that. I think the journey of life is just as important as a destination. You know, like, life is not a destination. Once you get there, you may not be as happy as you think you are. But if you enjoyed the journey getting there, you're going to be much happier, right? Whenever you ask someone who, and this is going to, I don't mean to be morbid, but if you ever ask anyone, you know, kind of on their deathbed, like, you know, what did you like about their life? They never say, man, I really like that trade or that spreadsheet that I finished up. You know, they probably talk about the kids they had or the travels that they did. So definitely enjoy life while you're looking for finance or whatever else that you want to follow in your career.
That's a great point, especially since the destination is often very much shorter time-wise than the actual journey itself.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, there's other things that give people happiness, right? Your spouse, your friends. Like, it's important to have lifelong friends. That's a very important part, like, you know, as far as personal happiness is concerned. What are you doing on the weekends?
The last question I have is, do you have any final thoughts or comments to share before we end this podcast?
Yes, I think high school is early. Just realize that you might have a certain view in high school and that could change your freshman year. You're going to learn a lot your freshman and sophomore year because that's the first time that most kids live somewhere without their parents' supervision. They form a whole new group of friends. You know, people change drastically that freshman year from senior year, right? Because you're not as shaped and molded. Junior year, they become a lot more serious as to what they want to do. I think it's very important to understand your education, try to become successful. I think whatever you do, enjoy the journey, but also become successful. I would say one of the hardest things, and this is not a knock on anything that goes on in life, at least in finance, I would say they tend to inevitably recruit from some of the top colleges. Like if you go to one of the top colleges, you will definitely have a leg up. Sometimes they don't. They've just recently in many of these top banks started, as well as management consulting and these type of, they just started recently going into the second and third tier schools. Like the top tier schools definitely have a significant advantage. So while you're doing that, you also have to kind of find a way to enjoy yourself and follow passions. So I think be successful, but don't lose sight on life and realize that, oh, the other thing is what you want to do at the end of college may not be what you love doing 2 years down. I know a lot of people who had like a bit of a crisis when they were 24. They were like, oh my God, I hate what I chose. And then they quickly shift again. So there's going to be changes in your life, but whatever you do, put your heart into it, love it, have a passion for it, but know that there are other things in life. That's my only thing.
All right. Thank you for your time. And
thanks, Sonic.
For the great advice. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this was fantastic and good luck.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your valuable time with this podcast. I really appreciate it. Please be sure to check out pathfinder101.com for more information like this. Thank you and have a great rest of your day.